Matthew chapter 5, commencing to read verse number 1. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer. Our Lord, God, and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the words we've read. And Lord, as we come to thy truth, we realize we need the Spirit of God to open the word to us, for our understanding, for putting it within our hearts, for, Lord, applying it into our lives. We pray, O Lord, today you'll give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say unto the church. We pray, O Lord, that you will help us not to wander in our minds. Pray, Lord, you'll help us not to try and think about other things, but, O Lord, take our minds up with the person and the work of Christ. O Lord, give us a humble spirit. We come before thy word and we do, Lord, think of those words of Mary, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. O Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. Lord, if there are our issues in our lives, I pray that for my own heart. Pray that for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, if there are issues that need to be dealt with, and if there are things, Lord, that are displeasing to thee, and are a hindrance to the work of God in this church, we pray that in mercy, Lord, you will reveal them unto us today, that we can confess them and get them under the blood. Because, Lord, we desire to be a channel of blessing in the place you've called us to be. Oh, Lord, speak with a voice that wakes the dead. Make thy people hear today. Empty me of self and sin, I pray, and fill me with thy spirit. May God be glorified in this meeting. I pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. Well, we have looked down at the poor in spirit and how blessed they are, because when you realize you have nothing and you are nothing before the Lord, then you run to Christ and you receive from Christ everything that's freely offered in the gospel. And then blessed are they that mourn, those who grieve over sin, sin in their own heart, sin in their country, sin in their family, because they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, those who walk humbly with God, for they will inherit what God has prepared for them. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. When you have a desire for God and you have a desire for his word, then the promise is that you will be filled. And I said to someone just, I think it was yesterday, I said, you know, if you come to the Lord's house seeking the Lord, you'll be satisfied when you seek him with all your heart. My friend, if you leave from God's house, out of a meeting where the word of God has been faithfully preached, and your soul is not blessed, the fault doesn't lie in the word. And the fault doesn't lie in the preacher. The fault lies in the fact that you had not come to seek God. Because if you had come to seek God, you would leave satisfied. And I trust and pray that every time you come up over that hill, or if you come up this way, I pray that you would come, and just before you even come into God's house, you would say, Lord, I want to seek thee today. I want to hear thee in this building today. Lord, I want you to draw near and minister to my heart today, because I need a word from God. My friend, we do. We need a word from God every day. We need a word from God every service. And the word God has given to us today is verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I want us to look just three very simple thoughts today. First of all, the characteristics of the merciful. The characteristics of the merciful. Who are the merciful? Well, we remember that the people in this set of Beatitudes are Christian people. It's only Christians, those who are saved by the grace of God, that know the blessing of God. Now, there are those who will be merciful in life and they're not saved people. They'll have a compassionate heart. But this is speaking specifically about a Christian. Now, the word merciful means compassion. And we saw whenever the king in that passage we read earlier, Matthew's Gospel chapter 18, it says he had compassion toward the servant that pleaded for mercy. So therefore, mercy is compassion. It means to show compassion by word or by deed. So therefore, in your speech and in your behavior, it's to show mercy towards another person. One of the Bible commentators says, it means to be so affected by the sufferings of others that you want to go and try and alleviate that suffering. In other words, the merciful are those who respond to human need with compassion and grace. They don't stand by gladly watching others in difficulty, but their heart is moved within them to go and help. Now, I believe there are three types of people that we need to show mercy to. First one might sound strange, but hear me out. The first person we need to show mercy to is ourselves. We need to show mercy to self. What do I mean by that? We see there's some people and they continually beat themselves up as believers about their past and about their failures and about the mistakes they've made even in the Christian life. And they cannot seem to get over the failure and the sin and the mistakes that they have experienced. And yes, they're saved, but they continually think of those things. They continually mourn over those things. They continually bring those things before them into their thoughts. And you know, because of their continual thinking upon their failure and their past and their sin, they cannot go forward. The burden that God has lifted, they somehow bring onto themselves in another form of regret and just worry about the past. And they do not, and they cannot go forward. Maybe there's someone here this morning and that's all you think about, your past. What you were before you were saved. Maybe you failed and you fell before even this church. And you fell publicly. But you have been restored by the grace of God and by the mercy of God, but you can't seem to get over that failure. I want to turn you to Isaiah chapter 38. In Isaiah chapter 38, we read these beautiful words that I pray will help you today. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse number 17. Isaiah 38, 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. And if you're saved this morning and you're walking with the Lord, you take a pen and you underline that and you memorize that and you pray today and you thank God for this promise and you go forward in Jesus' name. Because God has cast all your sin behind his back. And friend, what God has cast behind his back, don't you bring it before your face. God has put it away, never to be remembered again before you. Praise God, someday we'll get to heaven. And I do believe in heaven we will not have the memory of sin, because that would mar our joy. But until then, make sure you remember where God sees it, and that's behind his back. That's the first person. We need to show mercy to ourselves sometimes. Remember who we are in Christ and go forward in Jesus' name, living for him. I believe the devil often does bring our past before us. And the reason for that is that we would be so busy looking at it, we don't look to Christ, we don't go forward. And if you find yourself struggling to make progress in your walk with God, you pray, you bring the promises of God and the declaration of God before the Lord, and you pray these verses till there's joy within your soul, knowing that it is forgiven. It's forgotten forever. Praise God. And whenever Satan tempts me to despair and tells me all of the guilt within, upward I look and see Christ there. He made an end of all my sin. Praise God. If you're saved this morning, you ought to be blessed. But not only should we show mercy to ourselves, but we should show mercy to the saints. We should have compassion and love and grace toward our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Whenever the ungodly and the unsaved and the unchurched come into this fellowship, the one thing that ought to mark out this place of God is to be love among the brethren. And I'm telling you on the authority of the word of God, if there's bitterness or hatred or something in your heart towards another brother that you are not willing to deal with, then you're a hindrance in the work of God. What is mercy? Mercy is shown in various ways. It's shown in our prayer life. Friend, if there's someone you can't pray for, then you're not merciful. In fact, if there's someone has an issue with you or you've an issue with them, the best thing you can do is pray for them. And I'll tell you, you pray for someone that has an issue with you and you'll be able to cope with that person. You pray whenever you have an issue with someone. And if you're sincere, the Lord will deal with your heart. Not only is it shown in our prayers, it's shown in our practical help. And there'll be those of God's people among us, and they will need practical help. Maybe, as we're experiencing in recent days, and even this weekend as a church family, those of our fellowship who are in mourning. And friend, there's ways we can practically help and encourage those who mourn. By our presence. By our prayers, by our giving, by our kindness. But then there may be those who are in need in different ways. Maybe it's sickness has come into the home. And maybe that mercy could be you going and giving them something. Maybe a meal. Maybe just a call or a text. Not wearying them by staying all night, but just calling and for a few moments to say you're praying for them and you're concerned. Mercy to saints is also shown in participation in the work of God. Friend, if you have a heart of mercy, you'll not sit back and watch everybody else do it and be some armchair general who knows how to do the work but isn't in the place to do the work. And you often find in churches, and you read the word of God, it's absolutely no different. There's nothing new under the sun. The biggest complainers and the people who see faults and find faults are those who are not actively involved in the work of God. You know why? Because the people involved are too busy to see faults and to find faults. And sometimes people have far too much time in their hands to find fault in the work of God rather than getting involved in it and being a part of it. And friend, somebody with a heart of mercy will not sit back and watch others. They'll join in the work of God. Mercy shown to saints will also be placing a watch over your lips. A watch over your lips. And I'm sure, like me, everybody in this gathering can think of instances in their lives when they wished they kept their mouths closed. They hurt others. They hurt themselves. I'm sure, like others in this congregation and myself, We can all think of a time we wish other people had kept their mouths closed because they wounded us and they hurt us. A friend, it's easy to say sorry, but it often takes a long time for wounds to heal. And I tell you, if you have a mouth that you can't control, get to the throne of grace in prayer and ask the Lord to put a watch over your mouth. Just a sentence has divided a church. Just a sentence has caused someone to fall back into the world. Just a sentence in anger split a family, estranged loved ones, and has caused untold havoc in the work of God. Ultimately, mercy, friend, and being merciful is what the Lord summarizes in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12, and this is another, what I call, life verse. And friend, if you're saved, you take a pen and you underline this verse and you memorize this verse and you pray this verse and you live this verse. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And the way you would like to be treated, and the way you'd like to be respected, friend, you live that way and treat others that way, and you respect others that way, because there are people in this life and they want people to run after them, and they want to be made big of, and they want to be apologized to. But I'll tell you something. They don't want to apologize to anybody else. They don't want to be kind to anybody else. They don't want to make of anybody else. And that is pride, and it's from hell. And we need to be very careful that we are not people who live in double standards. Oh, you do this to me, but I'll do whatever I want to everybody else. No, we're coming to the Word of God now. We're coming to the doctrine of the Lord. This isn't pick and choose what I want out of the Bible. This is what God says. Blessed are the merciful. You're expected to be merciful. And Matthew Henry said, the merciful are happy. We must not only bear our own afflictions patiently, but we must do all we can to help others who are in need. We must have compassion on the souls of others and help them. We must help them. A friend, if you cannot look a brother or a sister in the eye as a Christian, say, God bless you. There is a great spiritual need within your soul that needs to be dealt with now. Right now. Right now. My friend, not only do we need to show mercy to the saints, we need to show mercy to sinners. We need to show mercy to sinners. Now, there are many opinions in this. Friend, I read the Word of God, and there's only two ways you show mercy to a sinner. And number one is by praying for them. And number two, is by sharing the gospel with them. You need to pray for the sinner. That's mercy. And you need to share the gospel with them, or get them under the sound of the Word of God, because that also is mercy. Now, I know there's a practical element where we can help to a degree. But, friend, helping someone will not save their soul. Helping someone who's a heartbeat from hell will not save their soul. Now, it may open a way to present the gospel. But if the greater emphasis in your outreach is practical help rather than gospel presentation, it's wrongly balanced. And we need to engage with sinners, first of all, in prayer. There's no point going to seek to win someone you haven't prayed for. But secondly, we must bring them to the gospel. Now, that is in many ways. You might not feel equipped to share the gospel with that person, but you're equipped to get that person to a place where the gospel is shared. You're equipped to give them a gospel tract. You're equipped to say something of your testimony and your thankfulness to the Lord for what he's done to you. And Matthew Henry continues in that quote I started a few moments ago. He says, "Pity those who are in sin and seek to snatch them as brands out of the burning." And friend, we need to be careful that we do not make people comfortable in their sin. That is not mercy. That is not mercy. I think of the prodigal son. And his father allowed him to feel the end of his sin and the consequences of his sin. And his father could have come and given more money to make his life more comfortable. Friend, that wasn't going to bring him to where he needed to be. Nobody came out offering him food, because that was going to make him comfortable in his sin. They allowed him to come to the end of his sin. And then, and only then, did he think about mercy and grace and forgiveness and regret over his sin. Friend, it's not our job to make sinners comfortable in their sin. It's our job to confront them with the gospel. And we must communicate with readiness and with cheerfulness and with affection and with tenderness and with a view to the glory of God, says one commentator, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will save your soul. And friend, to show mercy is delightful to God and desirable by God, and it's what he requires. And I remember when I was in Canada, about maybe 8 years ago, preaching in Calgary, I got a CD and I heard this song on it. It's not your typical gospel song, but I'm going to read the words of it. "There are many people who will say they're Christians, and they live like Christians on the Sabbath day. But come Monday morning, till the coming Sunday, they will fight their neighbour all along the way. You don't love God if you don't love your neighbour. If you gossip about him, if you never have mercy, if he gets into trouble and you don't try to help him, then you don't love your neighbour and you don't love God." And friend, that's a summary. That is a summary of that passage in Matthew chapter 18. If you don't love your neighbour, you don't love God. Secondly, the cultivation of mercy. How can we cultivate an attitude of mercy? Well, here's some things. Number one, spend time with the Lord and you will develop a Christ-like heart. Spend time with the Lord. You see, we think of things that the Lord has said in Scripture, and then we realize, well, that's mercy. He says, for example, in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" Turn ye from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? He's bringing before them the reality and the truth. And friend, if we have the heart of God, we will have that burden to bring the same truths before our loved ones. See, the Lord would have all men to be saved and come on to the knowledge of the truth. That's his heart. And friend, if we're walking about and living and working in the midst of sinners and we've no desire for their soul, friend, we need to get back to God and pray he mould our heart and make it after himself. Secondly, we must obey the word of God. We must obey the word of God. Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. What's the Lord required? To do justly, to do that which is right, to love mercy, to show that which is right, and to walk humbly with thy God. Remember, we are to please the Lord and not man. We are to please the Lord and not man. It doesn't really matter what man thinks of us. In fact, it holds no bearing at all. It's what the Lord sees. But then, of course, not only do we have to, spend time with the Lord, two, obey the word of God, three, we have to evaluate our hearts daily before God. Because you see, the Lord said to the Pharisees and the scribes in Matthew 23 and verse 23, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. You see, they were weighing out these wee different things that they could measure, and it was a bit of dust in their hand in reality. And they were so proud of this, oh, we're doing all our little things and we've every I dotted and every T crossed in the law. But they missed it all. They missed judgment. Oh, you see, they wouldn't measure themselves by the word of God to see how they stood. They just assumed because they were obeying the law that everything was okay. They missed mercy. They had absolutely no mercy. Do you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? And they walked over to the other side. Why? They had no mercy, no love in their heart. No faith. Friend, we need to evaluate our hearts daily before God. Search me, O God, know my heart. And I'll tell you, if you honestly say that before God, God will honestly show you your heart. And praise God, when he does that, then you're able to confess that which is wrong and cultivate that which is godly. And then, I suppose the main way, not only spend time with the Lord, not only obey the word of God, not only evaluate your heart daily before the Lord, but remember the mercy you have been shown. Because that is really the greatest way to cultivate mercy within your heart. Now, if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, the word mercy and merciful is found many times in Scripture. But the word that is translated merciful in Matthew's Gospel and the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, is only used one other time in Scripture, and it's here in Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 16, for verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. You see, merciful. Now, it was the mercy of God, the love of God, the compassion of God that brought him Calvary. He had mercy upon our souls. He had love for us who were in need and could do nothing to help ourselves. And friend, therefore, what I'm saying to you is this. Remember the mercy you've been shown. This attribute that we are asked to see, show in our lives, is simply a Christ-like attribute. Of course, it's seen in absolute perfection in Christ and in absolute purity in Christ. But remember, he is the merciful one. He's the God of all mercy. And friend, you remember that when you deserved hell, you remember when you were in the slavery of sin, you remember whenever you were an enemy of God, that God showed mercy unto you. Just like that king showed mercy unto the man, he owed him so much. But friend, what an insult to God. For you to be shown such great mercy, and then to turn your head and snub a brother and sister in Christ. Never forget who you are. Never forget what you were. And never forget why you're blessed. It's because God showed mercy to you. You say, well, I can't forgive. No, no, no. That's wrong. That's unscriptural. When you say, I can't forgive, what you're saying is, I won't forgive. Because, friend, if the Lord can forgive the vilest sinner, then he give you grace to give the person that's offended you. We thought about the characteristics of mercy, the cultivation of mercy, and then finally the comfort of the merciful. The comfort of the merciful. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. There's a great blessing in mercy. Do you know that many of the old sayings that really have come up over the years have their basis really in scriptural principles? In fact, some of them are straight out of scripture. And one of them really that I believe we could use is this: what goes around comes around. What goes around comes around. And that's a very loose paraphrase really of the end of Matthew chapter 18. Because the Bible does say that if you show mercy, mercy will be shown unto you. The opposite is true. If you do not show mercy, mercy will not be shown unto you. Now that's shown in a practical level, in a relational level. So for example, if you're a person who is a kind person and a merciful person, you're going to help people and you're going to be kind and try and give of yourself to alleviate others' hurts and alleviate others' times of trial and put your arm around them and be caring towards them, and maybe times when they're down, other people are shunning, you come and you try and encourage them. If you're a merciful person, whenever it comes a time in your life that you're in need, you know what you'll find? You know what you'll find? Those people to whom you show mercy will come and show mercy to you. And there are times in life, we have to say, if you have a very hard spirit and a bitter spirit, and you need often to complain and grumble and hurt people, you'll find that in time of trial, though not be too many, will be wanting to come near you because of your attitude. Folks, ask yourself this question. Because of my walk with God and because of who I am in my family, in my church, and in my workplace, do people feel comfortable coming to speak to me? Or is there a fear of how I'm going to react? Can people be at ease with me? Or do they have to be careful in case they say something I blow a fuse? Now, folks, you know in your heart there's people and you see them and you smile. And they smile and you're just at ease and there's fellowship and there's joy and there's unity. And that's wonderful. But you know within your heart there's people and they're coming. And you think, oh, right, I need to be careful. Oh, what am I going to do? That's not of God. My friend, we need to be careful. Because the way we treat others ultimately is going to be the way we're treated by others. But we must take this higher than just our relationships between brothers and sisters. Because the Bible does say that how the Lord treats us is often in relation to how we treat others. And friend, if we are going to be unmerciful, it's not that the Lord is going to be unkind to us. But I'll tell you, sometimes the Lord allows unmerciful believers to suffer in chastisement and in punishment. Why? Why would the Lord allow that? To humble them. To humble them. This isn't speaking about our salvation. This isn't asking, will a Christian who just always seems to fall out with people and always seems to be causing trouble, will they get into heaven? Yes, they will. If they're saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb, yes, they'll get into heaven. But I'll tell you something. They'll not have an easy journey. Now, none of us have an easy journey, but the Lord does permit things in the lives of people who are hard-hearted to humble them and to soften them. Sometimes the Lord takes away things that we love. Sometimes the Lord allows your plans to fall through. Sometimes the Lord allows you to go so far, and then you realize you stand, and because of the life you've been living, there's nobody around you. But if the person who's unmerciful, that child of God who has been hard, who has been bitter, who has been quarrelsome, who has been troublesome, who gladly points the finger, who gladly criticizes, who gladly takes great joy in seeing others fall, you see, if that person turns to the Lord and says, "Lord, I'm sorry. I want to be like my Savior. I want to be the greatest blessing and the most Christ-like person that can be. I don't want to be this arrogant, proud, crabbit person. Lord, I want you to fill me with your Spirit." You know what the Bible says? If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friend, life is hard enough without you bringing burdens upon your back. But here's what the Bible says. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I believe that means that if you love your neighbour and you love your family in Christ, then I believe the Lord will pour out His mercy abundantly upon you. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly.